Kathy Shreve. Today's date is April 21st. The time is 7 p.m. I will be interviewing Darwin Shreve of Saginaw, Michigan. The topics to be discussed are what it was like growing up in Saginaw and some of the changes that have taken place in the past 40 years. Now, you were born in 1931 and you lived here all your life, right?
Correct.
Okay. That was right around the time of the Depression. Do you remember anything special about growing up during the Depression?
Well, the Depression started in 1929, October. I remember things being very difficult because in the all through the 30s and up to World War II, times were bad. And in World War II, things were rationed to the point where even if you had money, you couldn't buy it anyway, or buy, at least buy maybe all you would want of any particular item. Things such as sugar and candy and tires and gasoline were rationed. Clothing, almost all necessities were rationed. And I think the shoes, as I recall, you could buy two pair of shoes a year. So even if you had the money, you really couldn't buy anything, and yet even in the war, of course, people were trying to fight their way out of the Depression. He was so far behind and everything.
Did Grandpa have his barbershop during World War II, or did he work someplace else?
Well, he cut hair a little bit, but he worked for Mitts and Merles for about, well, almost 50 years prior to his death.
What's Mitts and Merles?
Mitts and Merles is an old, old Saginaw corporation that's been in business for many, many, many years on Water Street. It's not, it would be about 2 blocks north of Remington behind the post office on Water Street. And they make all assortment of things, but one thing that comes to my mind, if you've ever noticed, in Saginaw, when people throw out their branches and twigs at this mulcher that comes along, that they throw the branches in and mulch it all up, is made at Mitts and Merle.
You told me that you had running water in the house, but that it wasn't drinkable. Can you explain that?
Well, all over Saginaw, I would say in almost every 3 or 4 blocks, they had wells that was for public use. And everybody had these pails that contained about maybe anywhere from 5 to 10 gallons, depending upon who was carrying them. Naturally, a little old lady could hardly walk 3 blocks with 10 gallons of water, and we would go over there and fill it up. We used to get our water on the corner of Throop and Webster, and we got that water was always good. And then we did have neighbors across the street that had a shallow well. Their name was Griffiths, and they lived right across the street, and we were the only neighbors that were allowed to use that. But oftentimes we couldn't use it because it was a shallow well, and it would the water would get bad at times.
So that would have meant, what, about a 2.5 block walk for you?
No, it was 2 blocks.
How long was it before you got the Huron water?
That come in 1949.
So that you would have been in high school.
Mm-hmm. I was a senior in high school, because it was the fall of 49 when I was a senior that the water come in. And at the City Water Works, there is a quite a monument there, and a an old pump bearing of the pump. And at that time, they had a big parade, and they had a lady that was queen of the water festival, and so on and so forth. And it was a big issue when that we first got the water, and a huge improvement. Because the water was very, very bad, and we didn't have it because we couldn't afford it, but really a water softener would have been more preferable, but we didn't have one at home because the water was awful hard.
Were the ice trucks still going around at that time?
Yes, but we had, when I was very small, we had an ice box, the ice, but we used to not so much get it delivered. We lived about two blocks from a gas station that sold ice by the block, and we used to get it there, and I used to get it in my wagon. I'd go down to the gas station and get it in the wagon and bring it home. But most of the time, while I lived at home, we did have a refrigerator. But at one time, when I was very small, we had an ice box.
How long was it before the horses with milk trucks coming around?
Oh, that was quite late. That would have been in about maybe about 1955.
Wow.
That they discontinued that. And all milkmen that I ever spoke to, and I knew many, preferred the horse because they had the horse so well trained he could get out with his think of what they call it. Anyway, a milk carrier.
Mm-hmm.
And he could deliver to houses, and the horse, he would just say maybe giddy up or something like that, or the horse most of the time that had made the route knew when he was out, and he would just continue to walk. And when it was necessary, if he could go down one block and was going to get the other side, the horse would go all by himself and just turn right around and go right down the block the other way. The only thing was that was bad is when the horse did his job in the middle of the road.
Do they used to have street cleaners that came along to carry it?
Yes, but a lot of people picked it up themselves, you know, because to let it set out there for any great length of time was not very good either, because a lot of times dogs would get out there and roll in it and everything else. In fact, we had a dog that did that at home.
Sounds like true. What was I going to say? So that would have been right about the time I was born. That would have been about 20 years ago that they stopped there?
Yes, about 20 years ago. And at that time, there was the Saginaw Dairy, which was later bought out by Borden's, which later went back to the Saginaw Dairy. Because of government intervention of monopolies, they forced Borden's to sell back. And maybe 5 or 6 years ago, approximately, that was sold out to what is now known as McDonald's milk that you see in the supermarket. And there was the Huebner Dairy, which was located on the west side of the river on Remington near the railroad track there. And now there is a detail pattern in engineering. And Huebner Dairy is the one that we had at home. And then there was Superior Dairy, which is still in business, that had horses. And then there was Parker's Dairy that we know here, used to have the horses. But the two largest in those days was Saginaw Dairy and Huebner Dairy.
With the post office, did you have mail delivery right to your house, or was it small enough that you had a box at the post office?
No, we had mail delivery as far as I could ever remember. A mailman delivered the mail to the house, just like they do today. I can't see where that's changed at all, as far as home delivery is concerned. Mm-hmm. But postage stamps in those days was probably a penny.
And all you had to do was write city on them, too, didn't you? You never had to address it.
Yes, there was no such thing as zip codes in those days.
What about the schools around here? What schools existed when you went?
Well, I went to North Intermediate School for the kindergarten and first grade because St. Andrews, that I knew best, of course, went there from the second grade through the 12th grade, did not have a kindergarten or first grade. Later on, however, they did change that, and they bought a couple of old homes. They were called the McIntosh and the Crane Home, and they were just carried the name of the people that formerly owned them. And then they did start a kindergarten and first grade. However, that was probably in about 1943 or or 44 approximately in there.
What else, other than the ones you went to, do you remember being around the Saginaw area?
Well, of course, Arthur Hill High School was located what would be right along where the courthouse is. It faced Court Street, and they moved in their current quarters in about 1942, and that was considered way out in the country, and people were very, very upset to think that if they were going to build a new school to serve the students of Saginaw, that they would go way out in the country. And what would be on the on the northeast corner of Mackinac and Congress, where Congress meets Melzon, was the detention home for delinquents.
Was that still in operation when they built Arthur Hill?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
When did they stop it, do you know?
It seems to me along about 1950.
What about Saginaw High? Was that where it was?
No, Saginaw High was almost in what would be downtown Saginaw. It was on the corner of Millard and Owen, I believe it was. Millard and Owen. And that school was built in about 1955, along in there, or 56. School is not what you would consider to be old, and it caused quite a commotion over there. The adults were very upset because the kids went on strike, walked out of the classrooms because they wanted and felt they needed a new school, and I feel that they needed a new school also because that was in very bad condition. But on the other hand, we all felt that it was a bad way in which for them to go about attaining their objective to walk out of their classrooms.
Gosh, I thought that was something new to the 70s.
But then, of course, there was the John Moore School, which was an old, old, old school. And that has since been torn down and replaced by a new school, same name, same location and everything, and that's near the Butman Fish Library. And South Intermediate, of course, is one and the same. And I went to, as I had indicated, to North Intermediate, and that school hasn't changed at all. And, of course, all the other schools, Central Junior School, but that was on the east side of town, and Weber School, but they were all in existence. But there's been numerous schools added, of course, to it, like Heavenrich and Jesse Loomis, and there was no such school as Eisenhower or MacArthur, because all the kids from Saginaw Township attended Arthur Hill High School, and of course the township had to pay the city of Saginaw so many dollars each year for the children in the outlying areas to attend Arthur Hill. But then Arthur Hill got so large that they just could not handle the township children, and so Douglas MacArthur was built.
When you were growing up, what did you do for fun around this area? What kinds of things were there for you to do?
Well, in our neighborhood, we spent a great deal of time playing football and baseball, and we played at what we call the old Michigan Field, and that was where what is now Pitt and Balcony, and there's a doctor's square, and that was just an open field, and the kids played there all the time. And then if we couldn't play there, if there's somebody that a group of kids that beat us there, we used to go over to the old, what we call the Shim Brewery, where they used to manufacture beer, and that was right on the corner of, it's a paper company now, but it's on the corner of Hamilton and Holland. But on the south side of that building was a big vacant lot, and it's now kind of a warehouse thing that they built, but we played there a lot. We also played a great deal down at Bliss Park, which was only about maybe 5 blocks from where I was born and raised, and occasionally we would go to White Park and also to Ojibwe Island. But mainly, I would say we played more at that Michigan field than any place.
At that time, was the Saginaw River polluted as it is, or was it? Could you still swim in it?
No. My Grandpa Daly always told me that that was a beautiful body of water and the fishing was excellent, but that river never was much in my day. Maybe a little cleaner than it was now, although the river is much cleaner than it was in the 50s and 60s. They've done made great strides, and that river is much better. It was so bad in the 50s and very, very early 60s that slime would just cover that river, and even on a windy day, it looked like the water wouldn't even kick up like it does, you know, with a storm. You pick up waves and things like that. It was really terrible, but it's much cleaner than it was. But no, in my day, that river never was really what you would call clean.
What about, you told me that there were a lot of movie houses around the area, but how many would you say there were while you were growing up?
Oh, there were many. I used to go every Saturday in the war. There was what was called the North Side Theater. Now, that was right next door to where Wesley's Bicycle Shop is. That is where their showroom and that is. That at one time was a drugstore where Wesley's showroom and that is. Wesley's Bicycle Store is as old as the hills, as long as I can remember, but they were located on Genesee in the old building where they still are. But there was a drugstore there on the corner of Genesee in Michigan, but right next door was the North Side Theater, and a movie then was about, as I recall, it cost a dime to get in the movie, and popcorn was about a nickel, a great big box, too. But on Saturday, during the war, they always had drives, and you could get in for nothing. One week, it might be newspaper, because there was a newspaper shortage, and you get in for nothing. This was backed by, I presume the government. I don't know who really actually reimbursed the theater. I assume it was the government, but I'm not sure. But one week we'd get in for newspapers. Maybe the next week we would get in for tin cans, maybe like 10 tin cans would get you in the movie. And then maybe the following week it might be grease and things, you know, from bacon and that, because that was used in gunpowder. And at any rate, all during the war, we could get in there for nothing. And that was an old theater. The seats were wooden.
How many did it hold?
Well, I would say maybe 200. Again, it was an old theater, and it was cement floor and wooden seats. And like most boys my age in those days, it was almost exclusively cowboy movies. And we went to watch cowboy movies, and the popular cowboys in those days, of course, was Roy Rogers, and I never cared for, and Gene Autry, and I didn't care for him, but I liked Tex Ritter and Wild Bill Hitchcock was my two favorite cowboys. And of course, when we'd walk there, we would walk from our house and into Bliss Park, and then we would, where what is now St. Luke's Hospital, I believe it was called the old Fordney home. I'm not absolutely sure that that name is correct. But at any rate, he lived to be a real old man, and we used to see him in the window. And he lived to be a real old age, but lived in a wheelchair for a long time. But what was now where St. Luke's Hospital was, he had horses. And the barns were out there, and we used to sit there and I just stand at the fence and watch the horses running around in there. And next to that, of course, a lot of people would probably still remember, but there was a blind institute there where the blind people worked, and of course that's been torn down, but they made brooms and things like that right there. But on the west side of Saginaw, in the West Side Shopping District, there was the Wolverine Theater, which was in the 100 block South Hamilton, and that was next door to what is now the St. Vincent de Paul store. And that was a little larger theater than the north side, because they had an upstairs and that, and a little nicer theater. It was old, but it was a lot nicer. And they showed a variety of movies in there. And of course, in the Second World War, it was an awful lot of war movies, you know, like Guadalcanal Diary and Wake Island and Midway Island, and just all kinds of war movies, and The Desert Fox, which was The Life of Rommel and all that. And they were very, very interesting movies. And also, there was the Mar Theater. I don't recall what's in there now, but at one time, when they closed that, Baisley's Market went in there. And that would be what is next door to what it, the Doll Shoe Store there on Court Street. And the Mar built a new theater and closed that, and they went out on at the foot of Gratiot and Brockway there, what is now, I believe, there's a clothing rental there for tuxedos and things like that. And that was the Mar Theater, and I used to go there quite a bit. But that was quite a ways from our house. But we used to ride our bikes there, and we'd always stop to Mooney's Ice Cream, and we'd get about a four dip cone for a nickel. And they
when
were.
When was Mooney's built?
Well, Mooney's was in existence then, no doubt about that. But Parker's wasn't. Where Parker's is, there used to be a high-speed gas station. And I remember back, the high-speed was a pretty big moving gas back in those days, and how we used to wait when we were little kids. Every week, we used to run down to the high-speed gas stations and pick up pictures of World War II planes, and every week they'd have a different picture, and every week all us guys would run down there and get our pictures for the week for the different airplanes. And they would be like the Messerschmitt, the German plane, and the P-38s, and just all kinds of planes, Japan's Zero, as it was called, that was their fighter plane, and all the different planes. And I had a huge collection that I really wish that I had today, but I guess I probably threw them away as time went on. But I did keep them all during the war. And the high-speed stations give those away, and it was a high-speed station where Parker's Dairy is. And, of course, A&W Root Beer right along there for a long time, but the building was a little old, tiny building, and they opened up in about the 1st of May and closed by no later than the 1st of November. Now they're open year-round. But no, Mooney's have been there for years, and they used to be real good. If a kid went in there and he happened to pick up his cone and he dropped it, they'd give him another one at no cost.
We still did that. I just didn't know it had been around that long.
And then there was another movie up on, I think it was called The Ploma, on South Michigan. It's up there by... was next door to what is now Paul's studio. Next door there was another movie house there. And then there was, over town, there was the Temple, which is still there. And then there was the Franklin, which maybe 6-7 years ago they closed that. That was in a 100 block South Franklin at, I believe that street in there is Baum. No? Federal. Franklin and Federal. And then there was the Mecca Theater, which is along in the same block where Heaven Riches is. And then in the next block there was the Center Theater. And then there was another one in the 100 block South Washington, where was real old back in the days of vaudeville, long before my time, but there was a lot of vaudeville plays that were held in that theater. And I can't remember what the name of that theater was, but it was real old, but I know where it was. It wasn't at 100 Black South Washington on the east side of the road, but I know it was really someplace, I guess, in its day, because when the vaudeville plays used to come in, that's where they played at. And then, of course, there was the Michigan Theater, which I believe is still in existence. That's way out East Genesee. And then two or three blocks further, there was another theater. They were just all over. And there was the Janes Theater on Janes. And it was just oodles and oodles of theaters, but television was not in then. I believe that television, the first set that ever came out was in New York, that we never really knew anything about. And that was about 1938, but we didn't see any television here in Michigan until after the Second World War, or along about 1947 maybe, but it never really got popular where people really started to use television or could even afford it, because when you know the dollar isn't worth near what it was, say, 20 years ago, and yet television, a little black and white set would cost probably $500 or $600 for just a little black and white set. And of course, color was unheard of until maybe 10 years ago or something like that. I don't recall exactly, but a black and white set would probably cost more than a colored set then. And of course, a dollar was worth so much more. So it really was an expensive thing to have at first.
What were some of the programs that you remember watching when it first came in?
Well, probably one of my favorite of all programs was Robert Montgomery Playhouse. And that was put on by Kraft. And it was, every week he was the host, but it would be a different play. Every week, one time it might be a mystery, one time it might be a comedy, time it might be a western. But it was one of my all-time favorites. I guess that of all the programs that I've ever watched, the one that I enjoyed that was weekly was that program of Elliot Ness, The Untouchables. And even today, I suppose, some of the younger people might see that on late television on a Saturday night or something like that. But I believe that I have great appreciation, a love of old cars, and I believe that that's probably one of the reasons that I enjoyed it so much.
Okay, I'm going to flip the tape.